Okay, welcome to FMLBL. I'm Alon.
It's Walsh.
Let's kick it off with some housekeeping. Please go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Follow on Twitter at FMLPL. Email and rate my team's other questions at FMLPL@gmail.com. Check out our website, FMLPL.com. We have league info, links to our team, social media, store, stickers, and ringtones. Also on our website, we post lineup limitations before every game. We can pick our starting 11s, captains, and more. Lastly, shout out the joint top of the FMLPL table. Eat the Kapoo, and my name is Wilson, or just neck and neck, going at it.
Someone's challenging the poo eater?
Yeah, it's just insane title race, unlike the actual Prem.
What do you want to talk about first?
Well, we got to cover our teams and like this current game week before we go ahead, and we're both in the darkness.
Yeah, so I'll start this week. I went pretty conservative into the double, took a differential route of not taking a hit. Part of the reason why I did that was I have a lot of good Game Week 29 midfielders, so I didn't want to get rid of any of them for Sterling or Sané.
Game Week 28 still... midfielders.
Thank you.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
God, that's the kind of start I'm having.
good pod.
Great. So it's still two games in two game weeks. So I just got Aguero in for, obviously, I kept Zlatan and I got rid of Kane, which was a net 14-point fuck down the drain. And I triple-capped Aguero. So, I mean, he's sitting on 21. The actual rest of my team got me 30 points. So not too good there. I got a red arrow so far, and I still have triple Aguero left. But I had no Stoke defenders, which sucked. And I had no other City share, which sucks, looking to the game tomorrow on Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say than that. I think, you know, the Sané, Stoke defenders, Aguero owners all did pretty well, but just my defense.
You would think so.
Fucking, yeah, well, you, whatever, we'll get to your circumstance next, but... Fucking defense has been destroying me lately. I've got no Heaton, no goalie this week, and then I got 4 points for my other three fucks. Brunt has been awful lately. I can't wait to get rid of him.
I mean, Brunt in a nutshell is why McCauley is so annoying, because their defense is so bad.
So bad.
You would
it's
never
top five
own
worse than the league
any of
easily.
Their defenders, like just on the basis of that. And then he just scores six goals or seven goals or whatever. So it's like, fuck.
I've had him for, you know, a month and a half or something, and I think he's only averaging something like 3 points per game for me or something.
Yeah, it's
been terrible.
Pretty bad, yeah.
So I was excited to get him, and now I just fucking hate him, and I can't wait to get rid of him. But I don't know. I have Siggy and Barkley, who both got me those assists, and then Mane got me the haul. Coutinho, I got that wrong this week, even though he scored for me last week. Defoe, though, two games in a row that he hit the woodwork, just such a nightmare for me.
Yeah.
I thought that was in the moment he left his foot.
Easy.
And I just thought it was curling in, and it just bopped right off.
And both were so nice, too.
Yeah. And then Barini fucking like charges at it like a savage animal.
Barini pulled like a Lloris from a few weeks ago when he just like salmon dives at the ball with his head. Yeah, Adam Pritch wrote in, approximately how far off should Defoe fuck? Thought that was pretty relevant to your team.
I've had him for 3 weeks of the season, and he just rattled off three straight blanks for only the second time all year he's gotten a three blank in a row. Other than that, he's been so consistent.
And
so,
two posts is just such
a fucking piece of shit for me. So, I mean, he's got these nice fixtures on the other side of the blank, but it's so tough because... Like, if I didn't have him, I would be getting Gabby Adini, someone I actually love, but I gotta stick with Defoe. I'm gonna stick with him first.
Yeah, it's hard to be patient, but probably smart.
I'm gonna be patient.
We're both sitting on small red arrows right now, but really, the City game tomorrow, we're recording on Tuesday night, is like, we'll decide if we have a massive green or, you know, whatever, a small red. Pretty much.
I mean, massive green is really not on the cards for me unless if Aguero does something like a triple return, I think. Because even if he double returns on triple cap, I'll probably have just a small green.
Yeah, you'll definitely get a green, though.
I'll get a green.
I have potential because I have Aguero, Sterling, KDB, who's bench, that's great, and Grant. So who knows? I was fantasizing today about Grant like saving a Yaya pen. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
Because then he can just concede five and I won't lose points.
I was so fucking bummed when I saw the team sheet with Yaya and Fernandinho because I had Yaya for so long and he never didn't play central defense. And the one game that I don't have him for, he's pushed up. I was so happy he blanked, but...
Yeah, and then the fucking KDB benching is just a story of my life right there. Like, I was... My hand was forced. I had to keep KDB, get rid of Alexis, and then that's what happens. I don't know. So I have back-to-back weeks where I have one of my forward getting negative 1 points with Zlatan this week and Smashley Barnes last week.
I know. You're, like, cheeky leaving Ashley in and leaving Zlatan on the bench. Little do you know you're getting negative points.
Actually
on that
negative
sub.
Points, like, great, on the auto sub.
Great job, Alon.
Great play by
really
me.
Really outthinking the field.
Some things never change. I transfer out Ali and Lukaku. They both dong, of course. Defense, same as you. Just 5 points between my four defenders. Baines is turning into a nightmare. Alonso and Chelsea defense are quietly... They've been bad. I mean, they haven't kept it clean in a long time. And this dude at Medium Cool tweeted in, are Chelsea taking the foot off the gas defensively? Now they're running away with the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's been five straight without a clean, which is a really long time for them after they were rattling so many off. It's kind of tough to see. I don't think Fab coming in is helpful for that instead of Matic.
For sure not, yeah.
That's not a great sign. But I was really toying a few weeks ago with really going heavy on Chelsea defense, but... It looks like holding Alonso is still not bad because he's playing out of position, but yeah, I don't know. They're not focused.
Could be made to get rid of
letting up a goal in stoppage time when you're, you know, up 2-0 that's like an Everton thing to do. That's not a walking the title thing to do. Conte, I'm sure, is going to fucking murder everyone.
Yeah, that's the only like saving grace is that, you know, that bugs Conte more than anything in life, basically. Yeah.
But I want to just, before we finish up on your team, we both got rid of strikers not named Zlatan to get Aguero in. And both of them, you got rid of Lukaku, I got rid of Kane.
Yeah.
Both scored. Zlatan got negative one. Zlatan still like missed a pen. He had, I think, the most shots of any forward in the game week. I still think that in a vacuum, because I'm sure a lot of people did these moves that we did. They held Zlatan because of the fixture and they got rid of either Kane.
It was the right
probably
move.
Cost. I'm sure people got rid of him instead. Like, holding Zlatan, I still think, was the right move. It just didn't work out. And I think after just getting over the initial feeling terrible about how badly it was and how many points you lost, in a vacuum, I wasn't even considering holding Kane over Zlatan the week before, as much as I'd like to second-guess myself after he bangs a brace and Zlatan sat on negative points. Like,
yeah, I mean, Zlatan had the most shots on target of the week and a pen. Like, that... The game script went exactly as we thought it would go. We just got unlucky. Yep.
And they played against 10 men for a fucking half. It's just insane that he had negative. So it's just one of those things that happens sometimes, and it's tough, but it's just got to stomach it. And it's just FPL. It's a hard game.
It's a fucking hard game. But kudos to anyone who like kept Kane. Fucking Jesus.
God damn it.
Someone tweeted in at... Great name. At why do I play FPL? What is considered a successful triple captain? Because we both triple capped Kuhn.
I think 15 points. That's 15 what am points. I? That's kind of my barometer. Yeah.
Where'd you get that number? You just pulled that out of your
ass? Well, partially. But I mean, it's basically like a triple return game, right? I mean, I think you should be getting a triple return out of your
triple captain return. That's a good way to put
it. Yeah. I mean, it's a little better than like a brace and max bones on a single game, but. I don't know. I think it's somewhere in between like a quadruple return and a triple return doing that. So that's why I kind of came up with that on the spot. But I think after last year when I got 3 points out of my triple captain, anything, this is already way better. So
I mean, I have faith for Stoke. I think they might just fucking turn them over.
I hope so. I mean, I'm still a little bit nervous that he's in a feature, but I think a 9-pointer, it's not a crisis. It's just not like great.
Yeah.
I think the disaster is blanking. Getting in 7 already banked is already setting us up for fine. I feel like a fine thing. And if he double returns and gets bones, then we're going to be swimming. And I think that's outstanding. Because realistically, some of your best captains ever are, you know, triple return captains where they're getting 17 points. So he still has that in his locker. If he gets a brace and max bones, then he's right there at 20, you know? So
yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. And people underestimate how hard it is to get someone who's just even nailed for 90 in both games. Like,
it's not
like those double game weeks in the future are like spaced out over a long period of time. There are like 2 games in 2 days, 2 games in 3 days. Like, everyone fucks them up, basically.
Yeah. But I'm already thinking, I've already at least in my head accepted a 9-pointer as fairly successful from Aguero. So anything more, I'll be extra happy, but it's still a high number to triple cap that.
Yeah.
It's not ideal, but I'm normally blanking my captains anyway, so.
Yeah, this dude at Nuclear Holoboss sent in a stat that other than the 1-0 win from Stoke, their other 7 Prem visits to the Etihad, they've lost by an aggregate score of 19-0.
Yeah, I mean, we need that.
We need all 19 this week. Let's go.
And they're going to be without Martin Zindi. I think he's hurt. And someone else was hurt. Glenner's hurt. So hopefully they're in tatters and they just roll them at home. But I'm still in the back of my mind nervous for that team sheet. Because
I'm scared.
He prioritizes the cups pretty highly for some reason. He always plays a really strong team in the cups, and they have a cup game at the weekend. It seems insane for him to rest Aguero this game and then play him in the cup game because it's a fucking cup. So hopefully
I hope not. And then if he plays him in the cup game, then he's only on like 3 days rest for the Monaco game.
Yeah, it just makes no sense. And that was part of my thinking about the rest lined up for him to rest him in the cup game. So that's why I was thinking he would be pretty good to start both of these. So we'll see.
Last thing before we move on to game week 28. Since we were going to do a group pod last night, for those who didn't see the message we put up, I had an opening question ready, and that was, which player would play you in a biopic?
What's a biopic? Like a story about me or whatever? Yeah. Like a movie?
Biography.
But it's about me, so the player would be acting as me?
They'd be playing you.
Oh, God. This is tough.
I couldn't think of one for you. I'll start, yeah. For me, I was thinking maybe Gabby Adini is a shout, but maybe more Grosicki because he's got like a Jewy face.
Jewish?
Yeah, his face is like very Jewish looking, even though maybe he hates Jews. Who knows? He would just have to dye his hair brown, but I feel like I kind of look similar to him.
Yeah, I think I came up with it right after you said Laddie Adini. it does not paint me in a good light, but I think you're gonna feel very safe with this choice. I think it's got to be Joey Barton.
What a fucking slime ball!
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fucking dickhead piece of shit who is mean to everyone and hates everyone. I think like Joey Barton is if I played footy, I would be doing Joey Barton things.
I like that. That brings it's a lot just of pressure
true.
To me.
It's just true.
He would do a standout job.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we were talking last night, producer Nate and guest Jason and I, about you, and I think Jason brought up maybe Phil Bardsley.
Fuck you, Jason. You pick some anonymous balding cunt, and that's who I am. Oh, God.
Oh, it's hard. It's really hard.
That's
terrible. The Jason shouts were easy. It's Martin Olsen or Zlatan. His hair is so long right now. So let's go on to game week 28. It's a fucking fucked up week.
Yeah, so we've got 5 games. Well, what about last week? We usually did both, right?
Well, we kind of did that and talking about our teams. Is there more shit about last week you want to talk about?
Yeah, there is a lot of shit, actually.
Yeah,
I really want to talk about Southampton.
Yeah, they're kind of like, good.
I was really looking because they're one of 3 teams that are going to have 2 doubles with United and Arse. But they're the only one of those teams that has like actual affordable fucking players.
Yeah, value guys.
And I was just like fucking licking my lips over getting like trebling on Tadic, Gabby, and
Melissa
fucking Yoshida.
Reddy.
Yoshida.
Yeah, something like that.
It's just those are going to be such huge enablers for the rest of our teams. I feel like, I don't know if it's like good to get them in soon, but it's just something to think about. I was also looking at James Ward-Prowse. He's starting to get a run of games and he's only 5 mil.
I always love JWP.
I love him, but he seems
like
to be nailing
dead ball
himself.
Deliveries are ridiculous.
So good.
His crosses are ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's on pens if Tadic isn't playing, and even Redmond. I mean, he popped up with a brace and he's been maddeningly inconsistent, but they have so many options suddenly with Gabby Adini finishing. They have, you know, all of those midfielders
just
create a lot of chances.
Yeah. Like Gabby Adini is just the fucking, they just started scoring goals as soon as he started coming in. Like, he's just so threatening and so far forward that everyone else is just getting more space and more opportunities. Like that, that fucking Gab goal from this week, like Buffal couldn't have possibly been in more space before he shot and then it was rebounded to Gab.
Yeah.
And that's just like what he creates. It's crazy. Yep. No, I mean, I mean, Gab, among others, after this blank game week, are going to be like up
big
there.
Targets. Big targets. Big time targets. Or even Forster maybe is going to be a good shout for the doubles.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe their defense still. We'll have to see when Caceres comes in because he should stabilize a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, he'll like probably Jack start Stevens. For Yoshida. Yeah.
Or no, he'll start for the child, Stevens, probably.
Oh, yeah, Stevens. I forgot Van Dyck is dead.
Like they,
Everyone's dead.
They still have like Romeo shielding. I don't know. I feel like they have a lot of. They're going to be a sneaky one. I
Cedric
feel like getting
is still
in on
4-8.
Them.
4-8. Birdie's really attacking and good.
Yeah.
No, they have.
Getting in on them early, I think, is going to be a good. And their fixtures are pretty good. Getting in on them is going to be a nice little thing to do, I think. I was looking.
Yeah, they're at Totti right after the break, but then they have home Bournemouth, they have a, home Palace at West Brom is like as good as you could possibly get.
Well, home Palace is a terrible fixture now.
Now that Saka's in.
Now that Mama's in and Big Sam effect has taken full effect.
Yeah, you guys are good.
All right, I wanted to shout Southampton for a moment, even though it's maybe future planning. But
it's a weird pod because we're either talking about this week or we're talking about kind of future planning.
Yeah. And then West Ham, I think, is still an interesting one because Ayew is still not starting yet, but you know fucking he does the business. And I think he's probably going to start next game. He's got to have match fitness at this point.
Yeah,
I think he's a good option.
Start him over should be nailed.
Yeah, I think he's a good medium-term option. I don't know if it's going to be worthwhile or when we're going to hear about the double game weeks to spend any transfers on bringing players in who are not going to be doubling, but I really like Ayew a lot. I think he was in every team last year for a spell, and he was scoring almost every game, playing out of position for Swansea.
And he's so cheap.
He's like
he's
a forgotten
so much this year.
Yeah, so much. He's a forgotten man, and I think he's going to finish off pretty well. So I also wanted to shout him.
No, definitely. But Lanzini too. I mean, he can't be overlooked.
Lanzini too. Yeah, he's involved. He's involved in a lot of goals, and he's obviously
he's just so selfish
guy.
In a good way for FPL. He just like constantly shoots every time he gets the ball in space.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
The other thing I think off the back of last week that's maybe not that important for Game Week 28, but just looking at the strikers, I think we're all going to be faced with a very serious dilemma moving forward for Game Week 29 when we're going to be looking at getting Alexis back in for better or for worse. We'll have to see how that cookie crumbles, but between Aguero, Kane, Zlatan, even though he's banned for a little bit, Lukaku, it's going to be tough to wedge in, you know, two premiums and a mid price. Like Defoe, I still think is going to be returning in those shitty fixture games. And then with Gabbiadini, he's probably going to come into a lot of sides. There are suddenly a lot of striker options when I feel like the season has been in the absence of, and also I guess Costa too.
Yeah, we got some questions in on that at Kega 1988. He was like a Twitter ledge. We always tweet back and forth. He said, "Bringing in Aguero saved me from captaining Ibra. It's sad I sold Kane, but I'm still better off. Who's the front three of choice now?" And yeah, that's speaking to exactly what you're talking about. It's like feels like 2 weeks ago the front three would have been so easy to pick out, but with the Ibra suspension, Costa's still returning like every fucking week, even though he's not explosive. It can't be overlooked. It's pretty hard. I still think Kane is probably number
Kane's
one.
Kane's the
guy,
number
though.
One. Definitely the number one for me is Kane.
Yeah,
I think
in terms of value and explosiveness and consistency, he's the best.
Yeah, I mean, their fixtures are really good. On pens, explosive captaincy option. I think he's definitely the number one forward moving forward. I still am really convincing myself to hold Aguero. Their fixtures got a little tougher, but he just still looks great. I mean, he should have had a double return last game. He had a couple really, really good chances that he just kind of shot right at Fuckford.
Yeah.
I think he's, even though he doesn't represent any value at this stage, I think our team values are high enough that we can absorb Kane and Aguero as long as we're getting someone like a Gabbiadini.
Yeah,
Defoe,
I think so too.
And at the third spot, you can even still afford Alexis, and you can afford that trio. You might not be able to have so many premium midfielders as well, but you can do that. It's not that tough. But
yeah,
I think
we're all
kind
of looking at it right now. I feel like the majority of people are in a similar situation that you and I are, which are we just transferred Zlatan instead of Kun out, which was our original plan, because Zlatan suspended for Lukaku. And now we already have like Aguero, Lukaku, and blank. If you turn Lukaku into Kane, then you're pretty much there.
Yeah, and I mean, Lukaku, it's going to be the case of like the timing of how you bring them in and if you do it for a hit and what game week you're going to do. But I think angling towards that would be good, especially with Arsenal having two doubles, getting Alexis in, even though that's a little rocky road, feels important. But again, I still think that you can do two premium forwards, one of them being Aguero and the other being Kane, mid-priced, third striker, still have a good team. So that's kind of where I'm thinking at this point. I think
Lukaku, I mean, I'll have that for sure going into like 29. That's definitely where I'll be. I just don't know if I'm going to, what I'm going to do with Ashley Barnes, if I'm going to go 3-5-2 or what, but I'll definitely be on Aguero, Kane, and Alexis, I think, right away.
Yeah, I think even for a hit or something like that, I think it's probably worth it. And,
yeah. Plus, like, City are not just Aguero. Like, City are kind of rolling. Like, they've been really good for a while. Like, this dude wrote in Stoner Samurai. He said, my gut feeling says City beats all three of Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool. Do you agree? And would it be wise to hold on to Kun? Like, that's not crazy.
No. And that's the thing is, Aguero's still explosive, even though he's not on pens. You see it from the open play, just how many chances he has and how good he is. And even though you see sometimes when Sané's running into his space or something like this, which is a little frustrating, but home Liverpool is a good attacking fixture. At Arsenal right now is a good attacking fixture. So those are like the only bad fixtures at Chelsea, I think. So I think he's worth keeping. I don't know.
And I'm not Chelsea, in a rush to get as rid. We said earlier, haven't kept it clean. They have two cleans in the last nine.
Yeah, I'm not in a rush to get rid of Aguero, and I think it's a little tricky because we'd be looking at removing Lukaku before he has home Hull, I think, or someone shitty in 29. So maybe I just go a week without Kane. I don't know.
Yeah, it's home Hull.
Home Hull. It's tough because, you know, he's flat track bullying, and he's going to probably fill his boots in that game. But then immediately after, the way that Everton's been playing against better opposition, I have no problem getting rid of him.
It's so hard with Rom. He's like the hardest guy to predict. I mean, just Everton in general, I guess. Kane's price rising this week, like more than once, and he doesn't even fucking play.
I know, it's insane. He rose today. He doesn't play. I kind of am thinking also about holding Barkley a little bit longer through some of these trickier fixtures. He's been like really good. He's been playing really far forward, and he's been looking really been good. I don't know. And I feel like I'd rather have a premium. I'd rather have someone like Kane over Lukaku than getting rid of Barkley to someone in that price bracket. I feel like he's just as good as Tadic or whatever, you know, someone else in that range. So it's because Everton, even though they have a couple bad fixtures, then they fucking right away have home Leicester, home Burnley. Like, their fixtures are still great.
Yeah, it's going to be tough with Everton. They're not going to have a double. Yeah.
No, it's going to be getting rid before the doubles to have doublers, but holding
maybe
on to them.
Until then, you can reasonably hold them. Yeah. That makes sense.
And especially because we don't know if they're going
to
be big doubles or small doubles with a lot of teams in the same week, or like we saw this week with just two teams having a double. That'll also impact because maybe holding Barkley on the fringe of my team and transferring other players out would be better. But it's going to be a lot about timing the transfers out. Also looking at the fixtures of players that you have for doublers moving forward, I think is going to be something that's probably the main thing to keep your eye on, is just to do everything you can with your transfers and to minimize hits to get as many doublers as possible.
Yeah. Another Everton note, we both have Baines. I mean, obviously we're not going to get rid of him this week. He's one of the few teams that
or next week.
I mean, fuck, though.
Home Hull, I'm not... I mean, 29 when I have to transfer in everyone who I don't have who's blanking.
Yeah, it's like going to be worth an extra hit.
He's not a problem.
But I mean, right after that, he's gone, right?
I don't know. It's going to depend a lot. I was looking at this and thinking about it. It's going to depend a lot.
Patience is running very short with him.
I know. It's going to depend a lot on what else I feel like is more important to do and if I need funds there or something like that, or if there's an early double that I'm just not... We don't know yet. But
yeah.
I think him still being on pens makes me think he's better in the tough fixtures than someone like Coleman when an attacking return looks less likely for him and a pen is maybe a little more likely.
That's a good point. Yeah, but still, regardless, you'd rather start someone who's not in a tough fixture.
For sure. But the thing is, that's such a difficult thing, is that they have two great fixtures, 28-29, two terrible fixtures, 30-31, and then two, again, great fixtures, 32 and 33.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm also...
If the average is a good score over six, you're good.
Yeah, that's what I'm also looking at. It's not like they have mixed fixtures after 29. Like, they have two really bad ones and two really good ones. But he's still on pen, so he could always get a pen. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a priority for me to fuck around with Baines' spot when I would rather, for example, remove Brunt, you know? They're not going to keep a clean ever.
Yeah, they have no chance of a clean ever, basically. Yeah,
they're the worst defensive side and bottom three defensive side in the league, and their fixtures are really tough. So that's kind of, for me personally, that's what I would be looking at. And I think a lot of all their owners, a lot of people, all their own West Brom defenders, and West Brom defenders should be completely fire sold after gaming 28 because they're one of the worst defenses of the league, and the attacking and fixtures are
Arsenal, United, at Watford, home Southampton, Liverpool, City.
Yeah. So the attacking returns will only get you so far. They're so unpredictable.
Yeah, they're over-under on cleans in that period is 0.5.
It's a negative one.
It's 0.25. You get half your money back if you get zero.
All right, what else? Do you want to look on 28 now? Get into
I think let's move forward. I'm sure other shit will still come up. We got a ton of questions about this game week because it's very non-traditional and it's very fucked up with only four games.
Wow, I said five games or there's only four games.
Yeah, it's only four games. So fucking there's no one playing. I want to start with this poll that legend Scott Tempe Bug sent in. It was just a poll on Twitter. How many players will you have? Over 3,000 people responded, so a pretty good sample. Only 3% say they'll have a full team. 23% say between 10 and 11, which I consider pretty full a lot. 32% say less than 7, and the majority, 42%, say between 8 and 9. A lot of people, like Johnny Reed and Tech Noodlin, all these fucking names, are wondering, what's the minimum number of players that they should shoot for? And everyone's asking about taking hits to get guys in for this week, since it's kind of a -2 hit, not a -4 hit.
There are a few. That's loaded, but I think first taking into account how many quantity you should have is, it doesn't fucking matter. The quantity is worthless. It's the quality. I think you realistically are looking at probably 4, maybe 5 players that can hurt you. Lukaku, Siggy, Mane. I think those are the three main attacking players that you should try and cover yourself with. Everton defense is highly owned. But again, the ceiling on a defender is not that high. You're looking at maybe a 6-pointer there. And then a lot of people have double Liverpool attackers. So, if you have 1 versus 2, that's kind of a thing. But past that, who gives a fuck if you have 7, 8, 9, if two of them are a Hull defender and a Swansea defender, and the other one is Johnny Evans. You're going to be getting 3 points from those players, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
So if you're taking a hit to get in some piece of shit, then it's a worthless hit because they're not going to make it up in 1 week. Their best case scenario is probably coming net even, and you're not going to want to start your fourth or fifth defender very often moving forward anyway if you're looking at doing something like Amat to Mawson. They're not going to keep it clean if he scores a goal. Good luck hanging your hat on a goal in 1 week, those kinds of things. I think you have to be measured. If you're taking a hit to do something Sterling to Mane and you have no other Liverpool midfielder, then that's a little better because Mane could come in with a double return and you're covering yourself there.
And he could fucking bury you this week.
And exactly. Guys, could bury, yeah, exactly. And the other thing that's very difficult to, put a number on, but because there are so few games, you have to be looking at, I think Lukaku and Mane is number one and number 1B in terms of captaincy percentages. It's going to be hard to find too many people who are not captaining one of those two players. So if you don't own either of them, you really have a chance to just absolutely diabolical plummet if either of them gets a brace, for example.
Yeah,
you
no matter own, like, what you're going you down did 20 on the double game right week, there. That could completely undo
completely negate the whole thing.
But yeah, it's going to be a very, very, very unprecedentedly low scoring week. So you're not at risk of losing that many places if you cover yourself with the guys you mentioned, I think is really the moral of the story. I think you could kind of throw Llorente in there. He was like kind of highly owned going into this week, and then he just braced, so I'm sure he'll be like a 20% owned or something. Which, you know, I mean, I'm not that scared of him, but he could hurt.
I'm like in denial on his points. Every time he scores, I just don't believe that
he has a lot of goals.
I know. I just don't understand it. Like, he doesn't move. He is a worse version of Giroud.
He's a Spanish crouch.
Oh, God. He bothers me. I really don't like him.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like him.
I like him, dude.
No, I do not like him. I do not like him.
I do not like him. Damn, dude. That's harsh.
Yeah, no, fuck him. I hate him.
Wow. Yeah.
I still think, though, it's, you know, if you cover yourself with those few players, you have very little chance of really having a bad week, which if you went heavy in on the double this week and, you know, that's what kind of you're looking at, and maybe you only field five or six, which is beyond the lower quantity number of maybe your competition. If you have the highly explosive players, then you're going to be okay. It's not going to be that bad.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's going to be that low scoring, because if you have a few double-digit returners, you can still pop up with a 70, 60-point week, you know?
What?
With 8 or 9 players, yeah. Why not? You get a double return.
So.
If you get a double return on your cap, a double return on your midfielder, and a clean sheet, like, you're right there.
That's
40
less
points.
Less than 50 points.
Yeah.
And then you have four other guys who probably all suck.
Fine. But what I'm saying
I'm
is...
I'm just saying the average is probably going to be like 35.
You're fine. But what I'm saying is, if you do that and you hit that height and you get a 55-pointer and the average is 35, that's fucking big-time 20 points plus on the field.
Yeah, you could rise a lot this week. I just think the potential damage is less than any other week where there's a higher potential of points. You know what I mean?
I agree. And the other thing is, you're looking at, outside of the very small handful of players who are good for a medium term, is, you know, bring in Llorente. Do you want Llorente in Game Week 29? Like, you want him the fuck out of your team right away, because you would rather have Gabbiadini or someone like that. But someone like Mane or Siggy or whatever, you can hold
keepers.
Them for the medium.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing, is like, are you taking a hit to bring in your rente this week so you have a player? He'll probably blank because he's a donkey, and then you want to get rid of him right away? Those are the kind of things you have to think about. Like,
I mean,
do you want to take a hit?
McGuire's just going to have your rente in his pocket, right?
Definitely, because he's the best center back in the country.
I love
but the other thing is, looking at those numbers in the polls, like, how many of those people are counting fucking like Stanislas and Amat and you know, Phillips.
Yeah,
I have
Stanislas. I would never count him as part of
my
team.
So subtract 1.5 from everyone's total, because everyone's got Amat or Phillips or Stanislas.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
But that's my take on the week. I think it's just, don't take hits for players who have a low outcome of possibly return. Like Josh King, I think, is a perfect example. Would I rather have Josh King than fucking Darun? Obviously, yes. Do I want to spunk a million on my overall team structure to have a fifth midfielder who's 5 and change? No. Am I going to start Josh King ever again? No. Do I think he's going to outpay a 4-point hit right away? No. So I'm not going to make that hit transfer.
I might take a hit for him.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not. I will not. I think it's a bad. I think it's not. It's just not good. So that's my. That's where my head's at.
Yeah, I think you can make a case for some hits, but again, as we always circumstantial. Like,
if I had Joe Allen,
it's really easy for me to go stand a King.
Yeah, I mean, if you have someone in the fourth mid spot who's blanking in that price bracket, then I would do that transfer. I would take that hit.
Right, exactly.
But for me, you know, that's my fifth.
If you have like Zaha,
I would do that.
Yeah,
I would take
shit
that
like
hit.
That.
Yeah. That was good.
God, I'm going to captain Ashley Barnes, I think. Yeah, this guy, Ruan Olivier. I don't even know how to say his name. Ruan. How do you say that first name?
I don't think that's a real name.
That's a real name. I think it's
like
a Gaelic
alias
or something.
That's like alias for Counter-Strike.
Yeah. That's his gamer tag, not his real name. It's like Ruan or Rowan or some shit. Right. Yeah, he said, I know it doesn't get much attention, but Bournemouth West Ham feels like a game with a lot of goal potential. Please help figuring out who to get. I mean, we mentioned Josh King. We already mentioned Lanzini.
Ayu would be the really
cheeky one, but
yeah, that's my pick. Maybe I should fucking put my dick in front of my balls and get Ayu.
I mean, yeah, that would be scenes, because he's
I can't
far from nailed.
I can't afford it.
How much is he? He's 7-1.
He's not 6-1, which is all I would be able to do.
Yeah, I have a ton of money in the bank, but I don't know yet. We'll get there.
Yeah. I wish I could just transfer Defoe out for Aya. Can't do that, though. The game does not compute. I'm still 99K. I'm still clinging on to a five. Is like five-digit rank the new 10K, or am I just bad? I don't know what to make of that.
We're bad. But it's been a really weird year. Like, I know a lot of the, like, veterans of FPL are even worse off than we are, which is, you know, really bad.
Just like every year, there's an extra 500,000 people playing the game. Like, we're up almost over 4 mil.
That's also very true.
It's still, like, percentage-wise of against the field, like, being in the top 100K is still pretty good.
Yeah, like, you're in a high percentile, but it doesn't feel great.
It doesn't feel good. We're
still going to rise a lot.
Well, wait. Triple captaincy, I'm like, yeah, someone used my triple captaincy, I'm going to rise a lot that week, and I have a fucking red arrow.
I know, but like wild card bench boost is still the biggest week of the year for people who save their wild cards and bench boosts.
Yeah, but dude, last year my bench boost got me like 12 points or something.
I'd kill for 12 points right now.
No, I know, but that's what I mean. Is it that much? Like my four bench players, two of them didn't play both games. I know, but like...
Oh, yeah, you had Mignolet, right?
I don't know what the fuck I had. I had players who just didn't play both games.
He got benched for Danny Ward.
He couldn't handle playing two games in a week because he's fucking running so much.
Yeah. Because he's flapping at crosses so much. Damn. What else should we talk about? Slots with the elbow of God. Sleepless in Oslo wrote in. I know Zlatan's the only player on United above 100 points. With him inevitably being suspended, should we just ignore United players until a double game week? Yes.
Yeah. Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, they're fucking shit. Yeah, they can't score for their fucking lives.
I would maybe jump in on a defender, but their attack is just bad. It's just
no defender's even nailed, though.
Yeah, he's been rotating a lot. And they still have Europa. They're going to be in Europa for a while. And FA Cup and all that shit. The thing with their midfield that's so frustrating is Mkhitaryan's look flashes of moments of being good, but he's still at a premium slot. And when you look at him against someone like Ali, when Spurs can put four past any side any week, United does not ever do that. They're not that team. So that we've talked about this a month or two ago about just their offensive ceiling output is just there. They don't blow teams away.
I mean, they have 39 goals on the year.
Yeah, that's bottom five.
Crystal Palace is 35. Yeah, Swansea that's bottom has 35. Five. Bournemouth has 37. Like, that's
awful. A ridiculous total. So Zlatan just kind of has the benefit of being involved in so many of them. So that's why he's such a good option. But looking at their midfield, I mean, I'm not taking a fucking 2 week punt on Rashford. You fuck out of my face with that. It's just, there's nothing there.
There's just nothing there. It's just a fucking dead zone.
Yeah, which is going to be a tough thing when they have their double game weeks. I mean, we'll have Zlatan back in for that. But, you know, do you want Pogba in a double game week? He's been bad offensively.
I'd rather have Mata.
I'd rather have a not nailed Mata, but I'd also rather have, you know, any of those Southampton players we were mentioning earlier.
By far, not close.
But that's the thing. It's, you know, I'd rather have Tadic over any one of United's midfielders. Even if they were probably the same price, I would rather have Tadic on pens, you know?
Yeah, so, definitely.
So we'll see. We're not going to probably load up on
United.
And
fixtures will be a factor, but I think as of now, the latest like projection for United double is really bad. I think it's like at Southampton and Chelsea or something like that. So and it could still just be the darkness.
Yeah, I mean, they've still got some pretty tough fixtures coming up. Attacking-wise, they're kind of all over the place. So United, buying United assets is going to be tricky. But as we've seen this season, I mean, none of the United assets outside of Zlatan are anywhere in the remote upper tiers of any category. I mean, Valencia's their best defender. Midfield-wise, no one is good, you know? I mean,
There's no value in United.
There's no value, and there aren't really any points. I mean, Pogba's their best midfielder, and he doesn't crack, like, the top fucking 20 of midfielders across the game. Like, Son has more points than him. He doesn't even play.
Yeah, so I think Mata almost has as many points as him, and he plays maximum 70 minutes a game. But
United always got a lot of press because of how many fans they have in England and worldwide, but I think they're a pretty bad FPL team in general.
Yeah, they're really bad.
I don't see a reason why that's going to change.
One thing I definitely was looking forward to asking producer Nate about, even though the group pod fell through, was fucking just Lucas about Perez. Alexis and shit, because, I don't know, from like pure FPL standpoint, me, like he's probably the first guy I'm going to bring back into my team after this week. I think he's still by far the best player in all of FPL. But yeah. I don't know, like this dude Andy Muck wrote in, considering the shitstorm at Arsenal at the moment, are you going to be rushing to get Alexis back in? Yes, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the thing I've been struggling with this week is, and why I was having half a mind of trying to save. But when you're looking at Kane versus Alexis of who to get in first, I mean, I think Kane is not close, way better, way more important. Looking at the way that they've been going,
that's interesting. I'm surprised.
I mean, look at what Kane's been doing, though. I mean, he's got a home
fire. Yeah,
he's got a home fixture in 29. It's sort of a home banker against Southampton, who have not looked impressive defensively. They went back to their three at the back. They're scoring for fun. Arsenal are all out of sorts. They just got absolutely murdered on the second leg of Bayern. You know, there's unrest and trouble behind the scenes. I just think that getting Kane in is more important than Alexis. So for me, it becomes a question of, do I want to take a hit to get Alexis in? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure yet. And then also, it's also maybe even... At West Brom's a good fixture because West Brom are terrible. But at the same time, he's not going to hurt you as much as he might do because so many people got rid, that he's not going to be right immediately back in a lot of teams, where if he gets a brace, you're going
to... To me, that's like more motivation to get him, though.
Yeah, more of a differential.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I'm getting the best player in FPL at like 20% ownership instead of 70.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, though, that Kane is a better player in FPL. I think Kane's the best player in FPL.
Wow.
You got to look at the returns that he's had when they've played three at the back. It's basically double digits.
I know. I wish
there
was a way to like easily sort that, but it does feel like he's double digits like every single time.
He's not blanking. He's double digiting every time when they're playing three at the back in the last 2-3 months or whatever, I feel like. And granted, Alexis was returning every week. He was very rarely blanking as well. But when you're also looking at captaincy, for example, in Game Week 29, I would rather captain Kane home Southampton than I would captain Alexis at West Brom. Even though he does business in away games, I still think Kane's maybe the best captaincy option that week.
Yeah, I mean, it might get to the point where Kane's the best captaincy option every week with the form that he's on right now.
Yeah. And
but at
Alexis
the same time, you look at Alexis, like, he played 45 versus Liverpool and got an assist, and he got a brace in the game before that. It's like, he's ridiculous.
They're both great. But I think if I'm prioritizing, I have a gun to my head, I'd rather bring Kane in than Alexis at this point for 29. But
yeah, interesting debate.
I also think I'm looking, if I were to bring both, I'd be looking at a -8 unless if I got rid of Aguero, which I don't really want to do. So might have to be an either or. We'll have to see. Because I do think... I'm just looking at the midfield and looking at like Liverpool's fixtures, I do kind of want to hold faith with the double Liverpool mid for a little bit. I'm not sure.
Could do some things for you.
Yeah, I feel like I need to get back to basics and try and work a little harder towards saving transfers and shit, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, we'll see. Anything else to talk about this week?
I think we touched on everything.
We touched on a lot. There's so much shit to talk about, but like...
I mean... Yeah. Still with Game Week 28, I think we kind of, I mean, for me anyway, covered it in terms of should I take a hit for this player or not. I think if you're looking at getting someone like Grzycki or Markovic in or some fringe player like Snodgrass or whatever, if you don't want to start that player for the next 3 or 4 weeks and it's not a good -4 to do because then they have to pay it back right away and you're getting a player already who's not a very good option because they're on a shitty-ass fucking team. So I would rather lean towards not doing that. So, I mean, maybe Josh King would be the exception because, you know, on pens and blah, 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 their fixtures aren't or whatever. But I would caution against just taking a -4 or -8 just to get players out there because you're going to come out probably on the red arrow end of those things.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Anything else team specific? I'm sure there are more questions. Just send them in. We'll be on red alert. But yeah, let's go on to fucking captains and shit.
Yeah, so, I mean, I already made my transfer today. I did Zlatan to Lukaku.
Yeah, me too. Simplest transfer of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had Lukaku for a while. I missed his last 2 goals. I missed his 4-goal game. I got rid of him a while ago, but, you know, he's... he's just too, there's too much room to possibly get damaged by not owning him this week. So I just thought it was a straight swap. I'll probably keep him for 2 weeks. Maybe 1 week, we'll have to see. But
yeah, I mean, he's going into game week 27. He was 63.8% owned in the top 10K teams.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to captain him this week.
Yeah, I think I'm going to captain him. It's tempting to captain Mane, but against a shit bus, why would you ever captain a Liverpool player?
It doesn't feel good.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And like, they've lost all those games. And then our team. So you're not going to make another transfer?
Well, so I have one interesting thing I'm just batting around because I'm looking at my... I'm looking at what I'm going to do next week. And I really don't want to get rid of Aguero. I really want to hold him. And I want to get rid of Lukaku, probably for Kane. But I don't want to do that before he's playing home Hull. So I feel like that's just spinning wheels. So if I want to bring Alexis in, I could bring Alexis in for Mane. But I would need to free up a little bit of funds. So I was looking at possibly doing a downgrade of Holobas to Fernandez, which would allow me enough money to be able to do Mane to Alexis for free next week.
That's interesting.
So, I mean, it would give me a player.
Gives you a guy this week and like a pretty decent fixture. Yeah, small percent chance of a clean, but decent.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
So that's what I'm looking at. I mean, I could do that, but... Then the other problem would be if I want to bring Kane in for Lukaku, I would have to take a hit the following week, and I would have to figure out who to downgrade of, Barkley or Coutinho, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be another, or maybe I guess Baines, I don't know.
It's going to take some planning. It's pretty
tough. Wait, no, I can't. Dude, what the fuck? I can't even do that because I have fucking 5,000 Swansea players.
Oh,
God. I would need.
No,
I would
but there's
need
other
Alexis.
Guys that cheap that are playing this week. There must be.
I would need not 4-2.
Not 4-2. Yeah, Robertson's 4-3.
I mean, Alexis could drop again.
Yeah.
And then I would be able to get Robertson, which would be amazing.
He probably will drop again.
Yeah, I could just do that and just hope.
Yeah. Is there like a Bournemouth defender? There probably is.
No, there's not.
Yeah, but. Mings is suspended now. I guess Cook will come in. I mean, no, who's even going to come in? All their guys are fucking dead.
Yeah, but that's a for sure negative point.
Cargill.
Yeah. But that's
no,
like
that's
the worst.
A really, really dumb move, yeah. I feel like I should take a hit for Stanislas this week. Basically, anyone I get that's under like 6 million... I can still afford KDB to Alexis and Lukaku to Kane next week. So there's not really any reason for me to not take a -4 for like Stan, for, I don't know, someone like King or maybe someone even just better than Snodgrass. I don't know.
It's tough because you have Stan and Snodgrass 4-5, right?
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, I have Ashley Barnes, so I'm kind of in like a 3-5-2 mold, which is kind of okay.
I think
okay.
You should really look towards 3-4-3, though, and getting Gabby Adini in.
Yeah, that's...
I would try and save money to be able to do that soon.
Yeah, I can almost do that.
Yeah.
I wonder if I drop Stan to Tom Carroll, then I can do that, actually. I have enough money. For all three of those moves that I want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that because Tom has an outside chance of an assist. He'll get you 2, so it's -2 instead of a -4 later on.
And he's as cheap and good a fifth mid as you can possibly get.
Yeah, he realigns your team structure, price structure better.
Yeah, maybe I'll just do that. Stand to Carroll.
That might be a nice just like cost savings, redistribute funds later.
Yeah, that it accomplishes a lot of things at once, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, okay. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll do Holes to Robertson for a hit and then see what happens.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. Fucking Robertson.
I love Robertson.
Check us out at fmlfbl.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlfbl. Email us at fmlfbl@gmail.com. Join the league like a baseball writer on Twitter. Cheers.